Welcome to NFL Live, presented by Golden Corral. Hey, what a slate for week 9 we have coming our way in the NFL. Dolphins, Chiefs, they're in Germany. You see everyone talking today. Tua Tagovailoa we'll hear from, as well as Mike McDaniel. And then, of course, Cowboys, Eagles, NFC East showdown. Hurts is going to speak. We'll hear from him, as well as Nick Sirianni. The Bills and the Bengals. You'll hear from Joe Burrow and Josh Allen. It's all coming your way here today. Welcome. Dan's actually calling that Dolphins, Chiefs game in Germany. You're heading there tonight?
Tonight, yep.
All right. Do you still have a Mento in your mouth? Because we're on TV. But anyway, we're going to see if you're going to swallow it or spit it out. Check out TikTok for proof there. And there's Andrew Hawkins. We also have Marcus and Adam Schefter here today as well. Adam, we're going to start with you. The news you broke in the wee hours of the night. Bring us up to speed on the Raiders.
Well, Laura, who would have thought that on the NFL's trade deadline day on Halloween that the biggest headlines would be produced by none other than the Raiders owner, Mark Davis. But late last night, he fired head coach Josh McDaniels, who he had given a 6-year contract in January of 2022, along with the general manager, Dave Ziegler. And I think what happened here was that Mark Davis got tired of watching this football team. He grew frustrated with the coaching staff, with the front office. He spoke to some of the players on the team, canvassed their opinions. And I think owners sometimes often do that. They just don't wind up firing the head coach and general manager on November 1st. But there was some chatter out there that this could be in the works a couple of weeks ago, that if it continued to go in this direction. They had another bad loss on Monday night to the Detroit Lions, and it almost felt like there were people within the organization who felt this coming all along. And then last night, the text started coming in. You need to look into Josh McDaniels. You need to look into Dave Ziegler. And sure enough, Mark Davis made another coaching change and decided to go with Antonio Pierce. By the way, ESPN's become a breeding ground for interim NFL head coaches with Jeff Saturday and Antonio Pierce, and with Champ Kelly as the interim general manager. Wholesale changes on Halloween, biggest headline of the day. Nobody thought Mark Davis would make it, but it's exactly what he did late last night.
Yeah, a lot of Raiders fans would probably say it needed to be made. And Adam, you caught us up to date on all of that there. More from you coming throughout the show today. The Raiders offense was pretty good last year in McDaniel's first season, ranking in the top half of the league in points per game, turnovers, yards per game, and total QBR. Different quarterback now. They have also taken a nosedive this year. Okay, Vegas ranks in the bottom three in all four of those categories, including last in QBR. Marcus, you see the numbers. Hard to deny those. Hard to argue with the firing if you think about it that way. What did you think of this move by the Raiders?
First of all, man, Schefter and Woj, those two alone are a secret society, bro. it is unreal the way that they get this stuff and break it before anybody else.
They're the best.
The second thing is, Boogie, on the Raiders situation, Hawk, did you just leave the weight room?
Coach,
what in the world is happening?
Dries and flies, bro. Dries and
flies. You know, I see you, big dog.
I'm not flex on TV. I'm just,
I see you. I know. See you, big dog. The right, it had to happen. It had to happen, y'all. It had to happen. I've been able to talk to a couple players, some coaches from Las Vegas on the road with Monday night. And look, the sentiment was that Josh McDaniels lost his locker room. And I get it, because look, this is a recurring theme with Bill Belichick coaching tree, right? But I think these guys get into it and they think that they can build it that way, not recognizing how much has changed from what they were probably growing and accustomed to as head coaches. And when you have a team that 2 years prior was a playoff team, and Derek Carr is shipped out, and Josh McDaniels comes in, and he gets his guy Jimmy Garoppolo, which everybody thinks that marriage is going to be successful, and we see how that has transpired from an offensive standpoint. Devontae Adams, super frustrated. Max Crosby, one of the better football players in the league at his position, and overall, frustrated. Like, these are the type of things that get coaches gone, but he lost the locker room, and once that happens, you usually see the writing on the wall.
Yeah, this comes down to three moments for me. Number one, the decision to bench Derek Carr last year. There was no evidence to justify that decision other than just don't like him. Two, the fact that they tried to get up in this year's draft to go get, to the rumors and or reports, C.J. Stroud and couldn't. And then three, you overpay for Jimmy Garoppolo, and then Jimmy Garoppolo's been bad this year. Mm-hmm. So those three moments for a coach who comes from his track record, who has his offensive success record, those three moments stick out to me. And then the final one, the inability to get Davante Adams the football. I know there are missed throws. Mm-hmm. I get all that. But there has been an inability to design plays to get him the football. I watch offenses week in and week out get their guys the ball. And Josh McDaniels was incapable of that with the Raiders. And those are the reasons why, for me, at the top of the list, he's no longer the head coach.
I completely agree. And I think this is something we could have predicted. We've seen Josh McDaniels as a head coach before. We've heard those same reports in other locker rooms that he's led. And that's not an indictment of him. But what the Raiders had in Coach Rich Bisaccia, the way he came in under turmoil, under controversy, and was able to keep those players motivated, keep them focused, and get the best out of them, should have been enough for the Raiders to say, hey, okay, maybe we should give this guy a real look because we see what he does on the job. And the last thing I'll say is this. They hired Josh McDaniels, what, less than 2 years ago?
Yes. Right.
Now at this point, whenever these decisions are made this quickly, and I think he's the third head coach in that coaching cycle that's fired, but whenever they're made this quickly, it's exactly for what Marcus says, that the locker room is not motivated. You look at Dan Campbell's first year and a half, and you look at the numbers, they're probably a similar win-loss percentage, but when you watch the players on the field, the way that they are fighting, the way that they're building, that is an indication that you have the right guy, and the Raiders did not show that.
You know, it's a really good point because I think the other thing I think of here is the fact that Davante Adams, players matter a lot. You saw his frustration. You've got to think that Mark Davis was in a situation where he said, I need to go to my star player and say, I'm going to fix something for you here, and that needed to happen as fast as it did. We'll continue to discuss this here on the show as well as other places. Actually, the Raiders right now are speaking, so if there's something that we want to show you about, we will bring it your way. Let's get back to some more top stories today as we bring Adam back in here. What's the latest on Deshaun Watson's health, Adam?
All right, Laura, Deshaun Watson back at practice today in a limited fashion, but the fact that he was limited at all in practicing is an encouraging sign for his availability. Now, the Browns head coach Kevin Stefanski said he was not ready to make a decision yet. It's not game day. They don't have to decide. Clearly, they don't want to rush Deshaun Watson any sooner than they have to, but it has to be a good sign that he was back in a limited fashion. Meanwhile, the Giants quarterback Daniel Jones said he expects to be able to play on Sunday for the Giants against the Las Vegas Raiders without Josh McDaniels and with Antonio Pierce as their head coach. He was limited today, but he has been cleared for contact, and it looks like he's tracking to be able to play on Sunday. And the Atlanta Falcons made the latest quarterback change with Arthur Smith, the head coach in Atlanta, announcing that they were turning to Taylor Heinicke, the former Washington quarterback who will replace Desmond Ridder as the team's starter. The Falcons will be hosting the Minnesota Vikings on Sunday, who will have their own new quarterback. Rookie Jaren Hall is expected to start, so nobody would have thought in Week 9 that it would be Jaren Hall versus Taylor Heinicke, but here we are. That's what we have on Sunday in Atlanta.
Thanks, Adam. Really fast, Dan, I saw something you said on Twitter about the decision to move away from Ridder. I just want a quick comment. You think it's a little soon? Or
well, I was surprised because I would say that 90% of his performance of the last 3 or 4 weeks has been really good. Now, the fumbles have become an issue, certainly against Tampa, and he had another one last week versus Tennessee. But he was throwing the football relatively well, and it was getting better and better. So I was a little bit surprised that the move happened now. But I guess Arthur Smith is sitting there thinking Taylor Heinicke gives him a little bit more consistency and not giving the ball away because that defense is so good.
Yeah, it matters when you think about that. Okay, to more news, guys. An ESPN investigation of the Cardinals' workplace that included interviews with more than 36 current and former employees revealed an alleged abusive and intimidating atmosphere, in part due to owner Michael Bidwell's tirades. It comes on the heels of an arbitration complaint filed in April by a former executive that accused Bidwell of gross misconduct, including discrimination and harassment. Terry McDonough's complaint alleges that he was, quote, aware of two separate instances in which Bidwell reduced to tears two pregnant employees as a result of his abusive and bullying mistreatment, and one instance in which Bidwell berated a black employee in a racially charged manner. Such hostile conduct on the part of Bidwell created an environment of fear for minority employees. In a statement to ESPN, Bidwell said, "We have more to do, and that includes my own work to grow and improve as a leader." We'll keep an eye on this story. You can see more on ESPN.com. We're just getting started here on NFL Live, and Jalen Hurts and A.J. Brown have the Eagles' offense rolling. Marcus tells us what his Cowboys must do to slow them down on Sunday. Plus, one of our favorite segments is back. It's Lost in Translation. We're going to try to make sense of things like this.
I know what you guys are thinking. I'm bigger in person. You're right.
By the way, we could do that segment with just Mike McDaniel sound every single week.
Every week.
That was in Germany, he said that?
Yeah.
Yep.
He's hilarious.
We love. Turn your click
up, dog. What if in 2024 you got a little bit better every day? When you're learning a new language with Babbel, that's exactly what you're doing. And if Babbel can help you start speaking a new language in just 3 weeks, imagine what you could do in a full year. Don't pay hundreds of dollars for private tutors or waste hours on apps that don't really help you speak the language. Try Babbel, the science-backed language learning app that actually works. Babbel's quick 10-minute lessons are designed by over 200 language experts to help you start speaking a new language in as little as 3 weeks. It's designed by real people for real conversations. Babbel's tips and tools are approachable, accessible, rooted in real-life situations, and delivered with conversation-based teaching, so you're ready to practice what you've learned in the real world. They have over 16 million subscriptions sold. Plus, all of Babbel's 14 award-winning language courses are backed by their 20-day money-back guarantee. Here's a special limited-time deal for our listeners. Right now, get 60% off your Babbel subscription, but only for our listeners at babbel.com/tackle. Get 60% off at babbel.com/tackle. Spelled BABBEL.com/tackle. Rules and restrictions may apply. This podcast is proud to be supported by Jet's Pizza, the number one pick in Detroit-style pizza. Why? It's simple. Jet's is better. With the thickest, crispiest, cheesiest Detroit-style pizza in the country, there's no competition. Right now, get $5 off any 8-corner pizza with code 8SAVE. That's the number 8, SAVE. Go to jetspizza.com to learn more and find a location near you. Again, try Jet's signature 8-corner pizza and get $5 off with code 8SAVE. That's the number 8, SAVE. Jet's Pizza. Better because it has to be.
NFL Live is presented by Golden Corral, the only one for everyone. All right, coming up next, Sunday NFL Countdown this weekend. They've got you covered for Week 9. It's Week 9 already, guys, 10 a.m. Eastern. Scott Van Pelt and the Monday Night Countdown crew, Marcus is part of that, get you set for Chargers and Jets. A two-hour pregame starting at 6 Eastern, both on ESPN and the app.
God only made me one way.
Everything we did to get him, give me everything you got.
That's to be Jalen Hurts.
Back goes Hurts. He is firing. Touchdown! Devontae Smith.
A.J. Brown.
You cannot throw a football better than that. It was perfect.
Jalen Hurts this year is on a mission.
You want to come out here and dominate?
Touchdown! What a throw! And the Eagles have struck.
Everybody has an opinion about something, but everybody in their opinions don't deposit at the bank.
This guy can really play.
Hey, Jalen Hurts and the Eagles gearing up for a huge matchup against the Cowboys this week. It's a great week in the NFL. Hurts has owned the NFC East in the last two seasons. His 74 total QBR is the best of any quarterback in divisional play, and he ranks in the top four in touchdown to interception ratio and yards per attempt. Patrick Mahomes, the only quarterback with a better record against his own division. Here's Nick Sirianni and Hurts on improvement this season.
We feel like he's been going to the right place with the football, making accurate throws, big-time throws in clutch moments. He has a very unique way of just trying to get better every single day. He really lives that out.
Time has changed, but mentality hasn't. And so the more you experience, you'd hope the better you work, the better you grow, or the further you go with the work that you put in. Numbers and all of that based off of our success or whatever it is, it's just about winning.
Jalen, laser focused. Marcus, as the Eagles offense keeps getting better, how can the Cowboys defense slow them down on Sunday?
I think you got to go in. When you play Philly, you got to decide what we're going to try to take away from them and make them beat you and try to turn them into one-dimensional. This has been the Cowboys' defense Achilles heel this year. In their two losses, they've given up an average of 196 rushing, y'all. Yeah, that's right, 196. So when you think about Philly, and who hasn't been running the ball at the rate that they were able to last year, but I'm sure they are looking at these same stats that we're looking at and understanding that this is the way you take care of the Dallas defense and keep them out of what they love to do in favorable situations on third and long and trying to create things with Dan Quinn and Michael Parsons working either in the center of the line of scrimmage or from the outside. So I think this is a big deal for Dallas. As much as they've had success throwing the ball in Philly, you got to take this run game away and put it in the pass rushers' hands if you Dallas defense.
Yeah, and it's a different offense then they've had to stop in Philly ever since Jalen became the starter because they haven't done the quarterback run in Philadelphia just as much. So it's way more of an RPO-centric offense to get the ball out of his hands a little quicker and some of that run game. This is their 2x2 RPO where he's reading that boundary safety. Imagine this is a Cowboys drop-down safety. Am I going to pull it or not? And he does, and he replaces it with A.J. Brown. That's easy for them in their offense. Another 2x2 set where he's reading that edge defender. If he collapses, he's going to pull it, and then he's got little just flat routes or spot routes. Marcus, this is like their quick game, Hawk, and you know this.
Mm-hmm, yep.
We've seen this against Dallas. Now, the reason why I think they got to try and stop it is they want to try to get Micah in these one-on-one situations. Last week it was against the Rams center. They were trying to line him up over there. I do not expect that to be the case in Philadelphia because of Jason Kelce, and they want to play their man coverage on the back end. When they do that and they get Micah in those one-on-ones and they're playing that tight man coverage, they get all those defensive line games going.
Yes, sir.
It's hard on the offensive line. It's hard on the quarterback. It's hard on the receivers to separate. So it's going to me come down to, in many ways, like how Dallas prepares to stop this RPO game. Is it going to – and the thing is for me, Marcus, is it's a different RPO game this year as well. And guys, last year it was mainly zone. It was mainly 2x2.
Miles
this
Sanders,
year it's gap. They're pulling tackles with it. Yeah. They're doing it out of 3x1 formation. So I think that's going to be interesting how Dan Quinn decides to defend that, because if he can – then it'll be where Micah lines up on his pass rush situations.
Yeah, the other thing I want Dan Quinn to do is I want him to take away A.J. Brown. I know that sounds
good luck.
Way easier said than done, for sure. Because one-on-one, you can't stop him. But he needs to be a focal point for the defense for a lot of reasons. Because he is a security blanket for Jalen Hurts. 8 targets last week, 8 catches. He's on this incredible tear of 125-yard game. If I'm the Dallas Cowboys defense, I am making somebody else beat us. Make Goddard beat you. Make Devontae Smith beat you. He did have a good game last week, but A.J. Brown is the kind of player that one-on-one, you cannot stop him. And I was talking about this with the producers in the pre-show. When you line him up against the other top receivers in the league, Tyreek, Justin Jefferson, Jamar Chase, Michael Evans, Devontae Adams, like the reason why he is so special is because all those players have a thing that maybe – aren't the most beneficial attribute. Tyreek Hill's not the biggest. Justin Jefferson isn't, you know, this big physical prime receiver. A.J. Brown is all of those things. He is fast. He is quick.
He doesn't have a physical flaw.
There's nothing about his game that you're like, oh, he doesn't do this thing great. So one-on-one is almost impossible. Take a chance. Put two guys on him. Center him in your game plan and make somebody else win the football game for the Eagles.
A.J. Brown has 939 receiving yards this year. He needs just 61 on Sunday. I think he might get that to be the first Eagles receiver ever to reach 1,000 yards in his first 9 games of a season. It's fun to watch if you're an Eagles fan. Still to come, it's Wideout Wednesday. Dan and Hawk head to the touchscreen. They're going to talk about vintage DeAndre Hopkins, the performance we saw on Sunday against the Falcons. They'll tell you all about it. That and so much more coming your way here on NFL Live.
You can't say vintage. He wants present.
Oh, okay. No more vintage. You're watching NFL Live, presented by Golden Corral.
Hop on crush.
Hi, it's Mike Greenberg letting you know ESPN Bet is ready to take you through all the biggest sports moments this spring. The official sportsbook of ESPN has exclusive offers and markets from Scott Van Pelt, Stephen A. Smith, and me, plus many more. From the playoff intensity to finally getting out to the ballpark, there's no better time for sports fans. Sign up today. New users get a bet reset up to $1,000 in bonus bets if your first bet doesn't win. Download ESPN Bet today. What a play.
Must be 21 plus and present in select states. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. Terms and conditions apply. See app for details.
Hi, it's Mike Greenberg letting you know ESPN Bet is ready to take you through all the biggest sports moments this spring. The official sportsbook of ESPN has exclusive offers and markets from Scott Van Pelt, Stephen A. Smith, and me, plus many more. From the playoff intensity to finally getting out to the ballpark, there's no better time for sports fans. Sign up today. New users get a bet reset up to $1,000 in bonus bets if your first bet doesn't win. Download ESPN Bet today. What a play.
Must be 21 plus and present in select states. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. Terms and conditions apply. See app for details.
Next week, it's Monday Night Football at MetLife Stadium as Justin Herbert and the Chargers take on Zach Wilson and the Jets. 8 Eastern on ABC, ESPN, and ESPN Deportes with Peyton and Eli once again on ESPN2. It's Wide Out Wednesday. Dan and Hawk, take it away.
When does he know time to get inside?
Game plan within the game plan.
Don't do what's on the paper. Do what you know.
We call it squirrel.
Squirrel. Squirrel.
I want to work backwards here.
I am licking my chops because it's time to eat. This is why he's such a smart football player.
This is the fastest feed.
It's unreal. If I tried that now, I would tear everything. You have my permission to slap him to sleep. 6'6" worth of Connecticut swag.
Whoa, whoa.
Let's get it.
That was dope.
Wide out Wednesday, yay, yay.
That's when the high five went away. That was the last high five we actually had together.
Yeah.
Okay, I'm sure DeAndre Hopkins wants Will Levis to be the starting quarterback for the future for the Tennessee Titans, mainly because it was just shot after shot after shot. Mm-hmm. We saw the deep ball because of Will Levis's arm strength. And this stutter go route, double move against Atlanta is a thing of beauty, and it's one of the reasons why there's so much hope for this connection in Tennessee moving forward. Okay, let's start Hop. Let's start Hawk with Hop down in the slot.
All right, so Hop in the slot. First thing is alignment, right? Number one, you got to be on inside the numbers because the alignment that we're giving you is we're trying to convince the defense that he is running a 10 to 12 yard in cut, which we call a basic in the West Coast office. That's number one, alignment. Number two is we have to know what the coverage is, Dan. What's the coverage here?
This looks like they're going to play a cover two version up top in a cover quarters, or what we call catch technique at the bottom. So cover two, meaning that they have a zone defense up top. You're a half field safety, you're a flat corner, and it's really these two defenders down here are reading these routes.
Yep.
That cover two corner could bail. If it's too vertical, he could drop down and cover the flat. And that safety, it seems, really has vision on what is going to be DeAndre Hopkins' route.
Absolutely. So we're about second and 10 here. So now I know what the coverage is and who I'm running the route against, which is this safety. And so I'm giving him everything that feels like a 10 to 12 yard end cut. Now go to the ISO and I will tell you how you do that in detail. Now this safety is keying on DeAndre Hopkins and waiting for this end cut. So you have to give him everything to make his convictions feel real. And DeAndre does that by, you'll see here in the ISO, full speed. And at 5 yards, watch what he does here. You see the slight subtle raise up there, Dan? Well, DeAndre Hopkins is one of the best route runners in the league. If he was actually running an end cut, he would not do that.
Question. You're saying that DeAndre goes from that running posture to raising up on purpose. Why?
It's a turn signal. I want to give him the indication that I am slowing and preparing myself to come to a stop, right? So if you keep playing it, he rises up and then pause it right when he gives a head look inside.
I would.
All right, well, what happens here is he gives a head look inside after he raises up here, and that is, again, the last indicator for that safety to see that this is going to be a 10 to 12 yard in cut. He sits, he bites, DeAndre Hopkins takes off.
All right, let's make this work. So you're going to be Hop, I'm the safety.
I'm Hop here. I'm driving, I'm rising up.
On purpose to get me to think.
On purpose, and then I'm putting my head inside here. Once I get you there, I'm taking off. And at the takeoff, the important thing that DeAndre Hopkins did, and we've talked about this so many times with receivers coming out of their breaks, he digs for 5 steps without looking for the football.
Okay.
Create that separation. And when he does look back, Dan, I'd see if you're paying attention in Wide Out Wednesday.
Yeah.
Where does he look, Dan?
He wants to look up for the ball because it's a shot play. It's not coming flat from the quarterback.
My man. That's what it is.
Way to make it work, bro. Way to make it work.
I liked Hawk as Hop, and Dan as a safety. You know a thing or two about a safety.
I'm
so it worked out really well.
Nope,
I mean, like, seriously?
Hey, listen. No, not that fun. New on NFL Live, we told you the Raiders were speaking right now. Antonio Pierce, the interim head coach, had this to say about the quarterback situation.
Thoughts on the quarterback position going forward?
It'll be Aiden going forward.
Why Aiden?
We just feel like this is his best chance.
What was the reaction like in the locker room when you made that announcement?
Very supportive.
Yeah. The guys are rallying behind him. They're excited to watch him, you know, get his opportunity. Like, I was there as AP was speaking to the team, and, you know, he had their eyes. There was an energy that was you know, tangible in the room. There was a true excitement, and guys are geared up to prepare for this weekend.
All right, so let's start with the Aiden O'Connell piece of this, Dan. Jimmy Garoppolo no longer the starter there. What does this mean going forward for the Raiders?
Well, I think, number one, I don't think Jimmy Garoppolo plays again for the Raiders just because the contract situation. I think some of his money is guaranteed for injury next year. Number two, there's no way that they make this move to Aiden O'Connell unless they went to Davante Adams like, is this good with you? Is this something that you approve of? So it's a great opportunity for Aiden O'Connell. I think the challenge is this. Like, if we're just being bluntly honest here. Okay, if Antonio Pierce does an incredible job and does what Rich Bisaccia did a couple years ago, hopefully he gets a chance to be the head coach in the future. We'll see if Mark Davis does that because he didn't do it last time. Who's the quarterback of the future? Like, that's – Aiden O'Connell's got a great chance to do it, but who's going to be the quarterback of the future? Devontae Adams is going to be 31 years old. Yeah. Chip Kelly, the new general manager, the acting general manager, comes from Chicago and previously to Denver. He's never been at a place that drafted a young quarterback and was part of an organization that developed one. So, like, who you have to start right now thinking, who's going to be the head coach if this doesn't go perfectly? And then who's going to be the quarterback if this doesn't go perfectly for Aiden O'Connell? More importantly than, like, hey, we got to get Aiden O'Connell ready to play a football game.
Right. Yeah. You said Chicago made me think of Justin Fields. But anyway. All right. Go ahead.
I was going to say, if I'm being honest and you ask me who's the better quarterback, Aiden O'Connell or Jimmy Garoppolo, Jimmy Garoppolo is the better quarterback. That's there's no way around that. But to your point, Dan, where is the advantageous avenue to have Garoppolo as your QB in this situation,
right?
Like, where is the clear path to getting your guy? And it absolutely feels like there was a conversation had with Devontae Adams, especially
had
off the back of Shefty's comments. There's no way in hell we're trading Devontae Adams. You don't make that declaration without a conversation to say, hey, give us a chance. Mm. We're going to make sure we make this right. That starts with the head coach, and then it's also a move at the quarterback position.
Bro, listening to y'all, I can't help but think the malpractice that took place.
Yeah.
By letting Derek Carr walk out of that building, bro. Like, it is unbelievable that we are here today and we were all at the Pro Bowl. Well, me, you, and me, Dan, and Boogie Hawk was at the Pro Bowl when Derek Carr was there playing in the Pro Bowl in Vegas. And you could tell Derek Carr did not want to leave the Las Vegas Raiders.
Yeah.
And now we sit here today with all of these things transpiring. It's something that the interim general manager said that caught my attention, y'all. It was a feeling, and he and Antonio Pierce had those guys' eyes, and it was tangible. That is a direct reflection of what was not happening in that meeting room and with that team when Josh McDaniels was at the helm. I'm sure these guys will play better. We've seen what happens when interim coaches come in, especially interim coaches that the players actually root for. As much success as I'm hoping for AP, and he really has a shot at getting his job, the thing that I want Mark Davis to understand is that is what you should do when you're talking about hiring a new coach. You should go to some of the pillars on that football team and talk about what type of guys would you guys like to have leading the charge and getting us to where we need to be. And, D.O., to your point with the quarterback, man, it's a hard, sticky situation to find one. But Derek Carr was in that building, and these people decided to go with Jimmy Garoppolo.
Yeah. Okay, this is kind of interesting. Before I get Adam in here, ESPN's Football Power Index has the Raiders as the fifth worst team in the NFL as of right now. And the reason why we bring that up is we're kind of trying to figure out where they'd be projected to draft if they were going to draft a quarterback. So they've actually won too many games so far to be as low as they might want to be or with a chance to get a really high draft pick. Currently, they have a projected draft slot of 8.4. That's eighth lowest in the NFL.
You ain't getting one of the guys.
Right, but it could change. But, sure. I mean, still, you'd like him to be a little bit lower than that in a weird way. Let's get Adam in here with more on Aiden O'Connell and the Raiders situation right now.
Well, a few things to address from your conversation there. Number one, they did this with Derek Carr last year where they tried to save the money. And for Jimmy Garoppolo, you're talking about risking $22.5 million in guaranteed money if he's out there again and if he gets injured. So they want to try to avoid having to pay that. That's number one. Number two, they did try to trade up in the draft last year, and they tried to trade up to get Bryce Young at number one. And the Carolina Panthers essentially made a stronger, bolder move, including DJ Moore in that deal in the end. And so the Panthers, not the Raiders, got the number one pick, despite the fact that the Raiders did try to move up to get Bryce Young in the draft. And now, going forward, it will be Aiden O'Connell, and they want to get a look at him. He flashed during the preseason. He looked impressive. And whenever you get a change like this, keep in mind that Josh McDaniels from New England and Dave Ziegler from New England, they brought in some players from New England that they had experiences with, like Jimmy Garoppolo. Antonio Pierce, Champ Kelly, they're not tied to Jimmy Garoppolo. They don't have anything invested in it. In fact, they're looking out for the long-term future of this team. So they're going to do what they think is best, and it's time to get a look at the rookie. And maybe Aiden O'Connell looks, in the regular season, as good as he looked in the preseason when his play was stellar. Let's see if that happens. If it doesn't, well, then maybe they're back in the draft conversation again. Or maybe there's another veteran out there that they try to trade for. That's a conversation for down the line. For now, it's time to save the money on Jimmy Garoppolo, put him on the bench, make sure he doesn't play again, and take a look to see what they have in Aiden O'Connell.
A wild Jeez. Illustration of the business that is the NFL and all of its inner workings. Well said by you, Adam. We've got more coming your way here on NFL Live as we continue to follow that story. But how about Joe Burrow and the Bengals? Their offense hitting their stride at the right time. But here's why Marcus says the Bills' only chance at slowing them down depends on the availability of one of their best players. We'll explain. It's all next right here on ESPN.
This podcast is proud to be supported by Jet's Pizza, the number one pick in Detroit-style pizza. Why? It's simple. Jet's is better. With the thickest, crispiest, cheesiest Detroit-style pizza in the country, there's no competition. Right now, get $5 off any 8-corner pizza with code 8SAVE. That's the number 8, S-A-V-E. Go to jetspizza.com to learn more and find a location near you. Again, try Jet's signature 8-corner pizza and get $5 off with code 8SAVE. That's the number 8, S-A-V-E. Jet's Pizza. Better because it has to be.
We all know breakfast is an important part of your day, but sometimes when you're traveling for business, you end up staying at a hotel that doesn't offer any. You know what happens? You grab a cup of coffee and skip the meal entirely. We've all been there. But if you book a room at La Quinta by Wyndham, you can enjoy their free Bright Side breakfast featuring delicious baked goods, fruit, eggs, yogurt, and waffles. And really, who doesn't want to start their day with a fresh hot waffle? Tonight, La Quinta, tomorrow you shine. Book direct at LQ.com.
Welcome back to NFL Live, presented by Golden Corral. Hey, it's time for Lost in Translation. We're going to give the guys a soundbite, have them tell us what the person's really trying to say. Up first, Dak Prescott was asked about poking the bear as they face the Eagles this week.
Jerry did say he didn't want to talk about the Eagles because he's learned his lesson. So
he didn't want to poke the bear.
He didn't want to poke the bear, is what he said.
Pour honey on me, I always say that, you know. You see me and a bear in a fight, pour honey on me. So he can poke it, it's part of it. It's part of the National Football League. Whether we talk or not, we know what's ahead of us. Great opponent, excited for it.
You guys are, you remember that movie Heavyweights with Ben Stiller?
One of my favorite.
Oh, that, all I think about when I hear Dak say that is when they pinned the council up against the tree and poured honey on them when they were taking over the campus.
Hans.
Oh my gosh, Hawk, what a pull.
You know what?
I'd also say
Let's
this.
Go, Hawk.
I'd also say this, Hawk, you ever seen people, I mean, I think this is a cultural thing. Like, you don't see, you know, people like me are the people who are wrestling bears.
Wrestling bears, no, I'm not.
Because it's stupid.
Too smart.
It's,
exactly.
I don't like to flirt with death. That's you. That's what y'all do.
Oh, you're just too smart. Next up, after
you know what?
Dolphins
Let's go fight
on,
this bear.
Yeah, come on now. The Dolphins went on Sunday. Mike McDaniel came to the podium, had an unexpected challenge.
Patience, see? Every time, you guys. Yes, I'm short.
Terry kind of did the same thing.
He did? Then who moved it back up?
Tua.
He's not that tall.
You know what? I feel you, Mike. What he's trying to say is, in what world is the microphone default level not at Mike McDaniel level? What I mean, am I not the face of this franchise? Am I not him? Huh? Have I not gone from ball boy to boy out ball? From now on, every mic is at mic level. The temperature in the room is at a perfect 73 degrees.
Ooh,
and I only want red M&Ms in the locker room by my locker from now on.
You like it 73?
73.
A little bit hot.
Not a degree over, not a degree under, or I'm flipping desks.
We have to cover Marcus's body with deodorant if it's at 73.
Man, he doesn't stink. He might sweat, but he's not stanky like that.
I'm going to be funky, Dio.
Okay, finally, we had to go to the college ranks for an old favorite. Coach Bibb from Charlotte with an honest assessment of his team's performance Saturday.
It's very frustrating, you know. When we don't hurt ourselves, we have a decent football team. When we hurt ourselves, we're like watching sausage being made. It's just a horrifying experience.
I'm laughing.
Oh, first of all, I love that damn Biff, man. I gotta meet Biff. We gotta bring Biff to NFL Live or something.
Come on, man.
Biff is saying, man, it just don't look good when you're making sausages. First of all, let me tell our producers something right now. hell with you. You give Hawk a short video, and you give me a sausage getting made video. And you guys don't know how you set me up to talk about sausage being made. I'm not gonna fall into it.
It's not
the
right.
Hell with y'all, man.
It's not right. And the other option they gave me, Marcus, was also a short reference.
Bro, so I'm telling you, bro. It's fool with
that
me.
That is probably what
it's
it
short
was.
With you.
What? That's God punishing you for all those times you try to make fun of my play. That's what
it
that's
is.
What
I mean,
play
damn.
It is.
You know
it
what?
Is.
I actually think I actually did it today. Hawk still hadn't really done it yet.
No, they,
he's waiting D-O. For his time.
I got
to
the D-O. Respect for D.O. I'm not going to speak that low.
D.O., I'm going to be sweating in that 73 degrees.
He's going to be funky.
Look, fresh out the gym.
That's
Dr. Squatch.
With an O.
And Lars, not Hans. It was Lars.
Oh, Lars. Oh,
do
man.
It, do it to it, Lars.
Hey, Dan's going to Germany. Are those, anyway, all right. So, big game in Cincinnati. The Bills visit the Bengals Sunday. After a very rough start to the season where the Bengals went 1-3, Joe Burrow's been fantastic. He ranks in the top six in completion percentage, total QBR, touchdown to interception ratio since week 5. The Bengals 3-0 since he got hot. It's been fun to watch. We all kind of felt this way once the calf got a little bit healthier. Mm-hmm. Feels like it is. He says he's 100%. How does Burrow's mobility change this Bengals offense?
It gives him a full toolbox, right? Joe Burrow is special in so many facets of the game. When he's hurt, they had to change the offense to get him in the shotgun, getting the ball out of his hands quick. Well, now in this last game, 26% under center, 8% in the previous 7 games. A lot more play action. He's getting outside the pocket. If there's nothing downfield, he's taking off running. And the thing that I love most about what Joe Burrow did last week, when you watch him in the pocket and that thing is collapsing.
Yeah.
I'm talking about poised is an understatement. If you took off every other person on the field, you wouldn't even realize that there were people chasing him. Mm. And that kind of pocket presence is what the very, very special quarterbacks have. And when he was hurt, he was getting rid of it a lot quicker. And that's a scary Joe Burrow.
To your point, Hawk, that confidence built for him too, man. Mm-hmm. Like, we know Joe to be that way. I'm really focused on when you think about the Buffalo Bills and all of that has happened with their injuries, and I know they signed Rasul Douglas. Mm. Where is Von? Like, what's going on with Von Miller? These are the games that he's in Buffalo for, y'all. So this defensive line as a whole, I think, is the unit that's going to have to take care of the rest of this defense as you go throughout this game. We know Joe is going to sit back. We know he's going to try to find Chase. We know he's going to try to find Boyd, T. Higgins. This defensive line for Buffalo is who we saw dominate Miami when they were playing against that Miami team that was coming off of a 70-point win. But I also want to see if Von Miller is going to get more percentage of these snaps. And between Ed Oliver, Epineza, Greg Russo, and obviously Von Miller, that's the unit that is going to have to win this game if Buffalo is going to have a chance.
Yeah, Von, coming off the injury, I think it's important to note, we did show the percentage of snaps in the games. It's kind of slightly risen every single week, but you wonder if he's still kind of fighting that injury. Go ahead.
To your point, I think Joe's the kind of one of the examples of there's two different kind of quarterbacks when it comes to their legs. It's the escapers and it's the creators. Mm-hmm. Joe's an escaper, can constantly get himself out of bad stuff. And I think we finally saw that this season. For this game, I want to see how each defense handles the other team's 11 personnel, one back, one tight end. These are two of the better teams, certainly quarterback-wise, when it comes to that 11 personnel operation. We finally got to see last week with Cincinnati what we've seen for the last 2 or 3 years with it. And because of the Dawson Knox injury in Buffalo, they majored in it last Thursday night, and I expect them to again this week. And I think the two interesting parts for me is Cincinnati defensively does such a great job with Louie Anarumo, their defensive coordinator, of like being game plan specific. I would expect a game plan that matches what they did against Kansas City 2 years ago in the AFC title game. You'll see 3-man rush, 8 guys dropping. We will see 2-man rush, 9 guys dropping. Force Josh, patience. And I think for Buffalo defensively, do they go with those 3 safeties again? Will they put 5 guys at the line of scrimmage to try to slow down a little bit of an undervalued run game in Cincinnati with Mixon?
Man, pass rush for Buffalo, so important this season. It applies to a lot of teams. But when the Bills get 10 or more quarterback pressures this year, they're 4-1. When they have fewer, they're 1-2. Significant difference there. We'll see if that matters.
Stay away from
game.
Us.
Okay, next, the Chiefs and the Dolphins face off in Germany on Sunday. Dan's on the game. He's going to give us a lot of insight. And hear why these guys are a little concerned about the Chiefs' offense, not something you hear every day. NFL Live is presented by Golden Corral, the only one for everyone.
10 seconds on the clock. How many things can you name that are always growing? Your relationships, your skills, your customer base. How about businesses on Shopify? Shopify is the global commerce platform that helps you sell at every stage of your business. From the launch your online shop stage, to the first real-life store stage, all the way to the did we just hit a million orders stage, Shopify's there to help you grow. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/network, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/network now to grow your business, no matter what stage you're in. shopify.com/network.
NFL Live is presented by Golden Corral, the only one for everyone. Let's talk about one of the games of the week. This is a whole lot of fun. The Chiefs and Dolphins facing off Sunday morning, 9:30 Eastern. Set your alarms. One of the best games of the year in Germany. Just so happens to be over there. Look at them getting ready to go. Frankfurt Stadium going to be in for a real treat with these two offenses in play. Here's Tua Tagovailoa and Mike McDaniel on their experiences so far in Germany.
How has the experience been in Frankfurt so far for you?
It's been pretty cool. We've been able to go check the city out, been able to go to maybe two places to get some drinks and then also try some food. But for the most part, it's been pretty cool. I got to go golf with a couple guys as well.
I slept, and then I woke up, and then I watched film. And that's been my experience. I made it down to the first floor of the hotel twice, both for meetings.
Oh, man.
Sounds like my regular day.
Yeah, right? We know a few people who are like that. I hope Jeff Darlington's having more of the Tua experience in Germany as Jeff joins us now. What can you add, Jeff, on the Dolphins' preparation for this big matchup?
Well, Laura, the Dolphins have arrived in Frankfurt, Germany, and actually they've arrived much healthier than they've been really all season long. Star cornerback Xavien Howard said today that he does anticipate he's going to play in Sunday's game after missing the last two games dealing with a groin injury, and that means that Howard will be on the field opposite Jalen Ramsey for the first time since the Dolphins signed Ramsey this offseason. Howard said him and Ramsey have been talking about this since before Ramsey really even joined the team, so they're thrilled about that, and they'll also have safety Javon Holland, who cleared concussion protocol. So really, a fully intact secondary as they go up against Patrick Mahomes. One other added note on the other side of the ball, left tackle Teron Armstead did make the trip to Frankfurt. Mike McDaniel said they're going to try to work him out throughout the week to see if, in fact, he can be activated in time to also play in Sunday's game.
Thanks, Jeff. A six-hour time difference, I believe, we realize. So it's
it
late there.
Pretty hot, though.
I know. It is. It's nice. All right, Hawk, the Dolphins' defense only seems to be getting better. So what does this Chiefs offense need to do on the other side in this one?
Man, they got to get some development and some production out of the wide receiver position on the outside specifically. When you watch Patrick Mahomes, we've talked about this all week, of his struggles, the turnovers. He is playing football like a quarterback who doesn't have trust in his other weapons. Everything in this offense runs through Travis Kelce. That we know. That's how it's always been. But this is even something different. This is, again, a quarterback who is throwing to the receivers on the outside when he has to versus looking for the opportunities to spread it out. And I can't blame him because the wide receivers have not played to the level of expectation that they're used to in Kansas City. And that started in week one when we watched them against the Lions, and it has continued all the way to where we are now. So they have to figure that out. Otherwise, it's going to be tough to turn this around.
Remember after the game week one, we sat on the show and we talked about the drops, and it was going to go one of two ways. Patrick was either going to say, it's week one, keep throwing the ball and it'll correct itself, or he will slowly stop looking at those receivers, slowly start trusting them less and less and less. And I do think we saw a little bit of that last week. There were some plays last week, and I don't want to overreact last week. I'm not going to. I think they just played disinterested football as a team. They have one of these games a year. But there were some clips where you go, Patrick usually lets that one go, or Patrick usually lets that one go. And I think the guy that we're seeing on the screen right there, Rashee Rice, has to be the guy. I do believe, Hawk, like, he has immense trust in Travis, obviously. I think he trusts Noah Gray. I think he trusts MVS, Marquez Valdes-Scantling. But I do think it's Rashee. Like, Rashee Rice is one of those guys that when he gets the ball in his hands, you're like, that looks the part. But he's got to get to a point where the doubt of what I do with this football could be bad comes out of Patrick's head, if it's there, you know? And I think Mecole's been there. There's Tony. Rashee Rice has got to be that guy that Patrick gets to that point where he has unwavering trust and confidence in.
Yep.
For me, it's Pacheco, y'all. Like, I was watching the game last week, and I get it, D.O. You did make a great point about how disinterested they were. But eight touches, man. Eight touches for Isaiah Pacheco compared to 27 for Javonte Williams and the Denver Broncos. And that game was never out of hand. That surprised me about Andy Reid as much as they were struggling in the passing game. We talked about it earlier in the week of how long Pat was holding the ball. Now, I know some of that leans into what Hawk was saying about the trust and maybe wanting to see these guys fully uncovered before he lets the ball go. Some of it is the fact that they are dropping passes. But Pacheco, to me, is the second best offensive weapon on this team right now after Travis Kelce. And the fact that they didn't use him the way that we've seen them do at times when they couldn't get the passing game going, and knowing that this offensive line leans into this run game a little bit with those guys up front, it just surprised me that they didn't use him as much in Denver. That's going to have to change as well, fellas.
Yeah, can't be disinterested in this game on either side. I don't think they will be. It's a great matchup. Time for one more thing before we go. Yesterday, Dan named Terrell Suggs as the scariest player he's ever faced. Here's Suggs on Dan today.
That's funny, man. Like, quarterbacks ain't scary. He's a sweetheart, man. I wouldn't rank Dan very high. You know, I'm a big fan of his show too. He's a sweetheart, man. I can't give him a rank. He's probably in the low 1% of scariness.
Dang, I mean, okay. So the sweetheart thing was enough of a dagger.
Let's not get carried away.
The 1%, the low.
I'm actually excited he knew my name, so I'm good.
Like, he didn't know you. He remembered you. A lot of unnecessary comments, so I would say to you.
Have fun in Germany, Dan. We'll see.